This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics, your one-stop shop for all your podcast data needs. Podmetrics aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. The best part is, it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and don't forget to use the referral code GEEKYJUANS. That's Geeky, J-U-A-N-S. Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to part 2 of the Geeky Juan's Wrestling What Ifs episode. On this episode, we discuss a few WWE related things, such as what if WWECW never failed? Would NXT have existed? All this and more on part 2 of Wrestling What Ifs with the Geeky Juan's.
Okay.
What if WWECW did not shut down?
So okay, you know. I remember we had this episode with this wrestling after work episode with Abel, long ass one, where we talked about where are they now of WWECW talent, and you know, at this time WWECW was like a bastion of young talent for WWE, a really great talent, a really solid talent pool. And what was supposed to be a hardcore revival, in a sense, na it was a revival of ECW. They kept the hardcore branding, maybe less extreme, of course. You know, since ECW was really crazy wrestling. So, yun. It turned from that, the hardcore revival, to what felt like a third brand for young stars at the late run. Because eventually the ECW originals left, and they were replaced by the likes of John Morrison, who rebranded himself, you know, from Johnny Nitro to lead ECW into a different direction. And then you had CM Punk there. And, you know, we had impressive talent there, like, you know, Jack Swagger was there. I mean, even though he didn't light up the main events, he did the potential world champions. Kofi Kingston was there. And it gave opportunities for Christian and Matt Hardy to show that they can carry, they can lead the brand, they can be a champion in their own right. So it was a weird experimental phase. And I like WWECW because I don't watch Raw. I'm not a Raw guy for the longest time. I rather watch SmackDown. And if SmackDown disappoints me, I have WWECW. Since all I wanted to see was like the new guys get their shots there. Like, I remember rooting for Kofi Kingston in his entire run there because he was like undefeated for a while.
Yeah.
He lost to Shelton Benjamin. So yeah, I love those storylines. And eventually, WECW shut down, and a few years later, we got NXT, the reality show, and then we got NXT, the brand we know today.
Yeah,
which felt like a clearer goal of what WECW was going towards to. But then, if WECW didn't shut down, I think it would have continued to be like it would have continued to be a bastion for young talent. And maybe they could have had, because the factor here was the PG era. There's a lot of factors that could have helped WWECW. And I guess you know what I'm talking about when it comes to a certain ECW title match that could have happened. But circumstances, the very unfortunate circumstances there, didn't. But yun. You know, we could have seen, if Kurt Angle lasted longer here, we could have seen him just lead the way for the young guys, diba? We've seen Wrestling Machine Kurt Angle just putting over young, promising talent. We could have seen, it would have been a bona fide third brand na would have sustained a bit. I think if ECW had tag team champions, and then would have at least had tag team champions. They could have had a bit more potential there. But yeah, if WECW didn't shut down, I think they would have they would have been a great way to introduce young a new talent, like and not be branded as a developmental, because that's what happened, diba? Na NXT is like the starting system to go to Raw or SmackDown. I think it would have been different na WWE. Diba, ECW is part of the WWE draft.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was a big part of the WWE draft. So that would basically ECW, if it didn't shut down, it's a legit third brand. And they would have, if they took care of it better and did not shut down, we would still have ECW champions until now.
Nice. All right, Derv, what is your stand? What if WWE ECW did not shut down?
I actually agree with everything that you'd said. I think it would have been the perfect way, perfect avenue, like it was, to introduce new talent without speeding up to the big two shows. And with the PG, I think they could have focused more on the growing trend of people wanting work rate, what we have right now. I think WWE ECW was the perfect avenue for that. That they could have moved away from the extreme violence, but more on extreme, like, focus on wrestling. Because you have guys like CM Punk, Kofi Kingston, John Morrison, The Miz, Jack Swagger, and Sheamus, who all became world champions in the WWE or in other orgs. And also, I think this is a way to bridge the gap from FCW, now NXT, and it could have given WWE that spark of, oh, we have now a wrestling show, not just the two big sports entertainment shows. We now have our own wrestling show, which is ECW. If they want to watch people like Kurt Angle there, right? Well, let's give it to this one. And I think with ECW, I think sooner or later, Vince would have given the reins to Triple H or Shane. I think ECW failing was one of the reasons why Shane initially left, right? WWE?
Not sure.
Because I think it was his idea to bring back ECW. I'm not sure on that. I need to rewatch things, but I think he was one of the proponents to bring back ECW, as well as Heyman. Heyman as well, right? But we know he wanted out when December to Dismember happened. But it could have been the best avenue to get someone from developmental, give them TV time, and then once the big dogs in the brand get drafted to Raw or SmackDown, then you build them up. And you can also move guys who are, let's say, need a new lease on their WWE careers, go to ECW and then wrestle there and then try to win back the fans. It's just a win-win if in the long run it was done right. But I think it was too abrupt. The end of WWE ECW was too abrupt for me as well.
Because I think Ezekiel Jackson as the last ECW.
Yeah. Ezekiel Jackson, and look at what happened to Big Rick. He was Big Rick, right? In Lucha Underground. I think that was the last time I saw him.
But yeah.
Yeah, but I think if they didn't end it abruptly, I think it would have been the perfect way. Like, to have a third brand, a wrestling brand that, like what Jude said, wouldn't feel developmental, but it's the perfect way to bring new guys up before you're making them ready for the two big shows.
Nice.
So, yeah.
All right. Now, speaking of building new stars, there is a certain star that we love so, so much now. In a certain company down in Orlando in Stage 21 of Universal Studios named Okada. I'm kidding. It's Kazuchika Okada. What if Kazuchika Okada's TNA excursion wasn't a failure? Now, let's start with Derv and then Jude.
Okay.
So, I go first.
Yeah.
I think it would have made Okada a bigger star stateside. And I think with him being a bigger star and not being squandered by TNA, I think he would have had a bigger impact with the Western audience. Because right now he got his connection with the Western audience at like 3 years, like when the boom of New Japan happened, like 2014, 2015, right? Which is like 3 years after the end of his TNA run. But I think he would have gotten bigger opportunities in the States and could have been a bigger special attraction in New Japan. Or he's arguably the most... There's a way that guys, I think he could have been signed by WWE and became the first Japanese, recognized Japanese world heavyweight champion. We don't know. But the flip side on New Japan is, I think they would have pushed through with the Naito title reign.
Oh, that would have been weird.
Yeah, because I think Okada stole Naito's thunder, which Naito stole back. Because Okada was the cool heel, right? He was the rainmaker. He wasn't a character that Japanese pro wrestling fans would have thought of. Like this brash new young guy who's like, his gimmick is basically an American wrestler, but he's Japanese. Mm. Like he was brash, he was like kind of like Randy Orton, like $1 million man, the playboy type. I think that with Japanese fans, I think they're looking for someone more relatable. And I think with the problem with Naito back then was he was basically Tanahashi 2.0.
Mm.
So I think that's why they flocked into Okada's. They became fans of Okada more than Naito because Okada is a new character, someone unique compared to Tanahashi, and is a perfect rival as well. But I think they would have pushed through with a Naito title run, and I think we wouldn't have LIJ. And this is something really, really happy, but I don't know if it's gonna make you sad. I would have think Hiroki Goto would have won one IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Ooh. Damn. All right. Now, Jude, what if Okada's TNA excursion did not fail?
Well, I think, you know, he could have had the chance to be a star in TNA before going back to Japan. Then your big take, the man. That's always the...
Cause that's the end goal, yeah.
If they didn't, I don't know, he would have at least been like, kind of like, maybe a Japanese AJ Styles, you know, young up and comer, keeps on winning the X Division title too many times. And, you know, maybe you know, he may not win the TNA heavyweight title, but if he becomes like kind of like the face of the X Division while he's in excursion, and he comes back to Japan, would have way made him like way bigger than what he is right now. Or, you know, the Japanese, the TNA excursion would have been like the catalyst for him to stay in the US.
Oh man,
the proven, so... diba? Proven that he could stay, hang in the US. You know, WWE could be an option there. Or, you know, yun nga, he could have returned to Japan bigger and have led him to America either way.
I think question. Sorry to interject to you guys, my friends. Mm-hmm. I think it would also have a positive effect that the New Japan TNA relationship wouldn't be strained, and Keiji Muto and Reza wouldn't go come and help TNA.
So yeah, it would have helped TNA in the long run because they can show that they can develop their New Japan talent. Great, while they're a great excursion base, better than ROH, or even better than RevPro, diba? They could have shown that they should be the top excursion destination for New Japan if they treated Okada, if they handled Okada way better than they should have. Because imagine being the face of imagine being the face of the company. I imagine being like, diba, Okada feels like an X Division guy. You can imagine him being and you can have him at least before excursion contend for the TNA title, which rarely happens to wrestlers in excursion.
Yeah.
Because wrestlers in excursion usually hold tag team gold, mid card gold, and if they carry the
company's top belt if he had the chance to contest for at least contest for the top belt, diba? Going back to mm-hmm. Japan, the Rainmaker shock may not be a shock because
yeah.
it was like no contest, you know. Yeah, Okada is like Okada proved already he could, I don't know, he could hang in the US, and Tanahashi is just like a stepping stone to his long term success. Ganon yun the thing. He would have been an even bigger douche coming into a bigger heel coming into Japan with that, diba? More.
I don't know. He'd be all blonde everywhere, not just his eyebrows and his hair.
Diba? It would have been crazy. It would have been crazy to see Kazuchika Okada as like TNA. TNA.
Would they have been the second leader of Bullet Club instead of AJ?
Okada? Ooh. I don't know. I think they would have stuck with the foreign, and I think it would, it would even make more sense for AJ to go to Bullet Club if Okada was like top TNA guy, diba? If Okada like stealing the thunder from AJ, maybe something like that would have.
If I steal your thunder, you stole my thunder in North America. I'll steal your thunder.
I'll steal yours in Japan, diba? And yes, AJ. Yes. Would still have been an IWGP heavyweight champion nonetheless, whatever scenario. Because, you know, he was that good at the time. And when he got out of TNA, it was like, yeah, diba? you saw like the amount of dream matches that he had over the past few years, even until now, he's still somehow 45. He can still do almost 50. He can still do a freaking 450 splash at his age, diba? But yeah, that's the take. If Okada made it to TNA, he would be even bigger. You know, the sky's the limit for him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Now speaking of, well, actually no, there is no transition for this one. we have our friends at Podmetrics to thank us. We have our friends at Podmetrics to thank for helping us. With the Shopee affiliate links and more. So to get your own affiliate links, you can go to podmetrics.co, and at registration, you can use our code GeekyJuans, that's Geeky JUANS at registration, and we get a small commission from each sign up that you get to have a better understanding of your podcast and earn money from your podcast. Anyway, speaking of earning money, we have probably one of my favorite questions, which is, what if Paul Heyman took over wrestling operations of TNA instead of Hogan and Friends? Let's start with Jude, then Derv.
Okay, so yeah. I think, Paul Heyman, despite what happened to ECW folding because of the lack of money, he was able to create a brand, diba? He was able to create an identity of that brand, and an identity that people still have fond extreme memories of. And the what he created eventually led to deathmatch wrestling, North American deathmatch wrestling, coming into mainstream, diba? And Paul Heyman is a really, really, has an eye for talent, has an eye for young talent, new talent, so... You know, he's been the guy who helped Brock Lesnar make it to WWE on his rookie year in the Ruthless Aggression era. You know, he helped CM Punk, diba? Eventually.
Yeah.
And I think if Paul Heyman had the chance to run the show, run his own show again, if he were to replace, if he were to replace Jeff Jarrett, sige. I think... If Paul Heyman took over TNA, it would have looked different. I think he would have tried to create a roster that's focused on creating new stars. And, once again, find a way to make a show with an identity that he helped shape. Because that's how he does things. That's how he does it. That's how he does wrestling promotions. That's how he does young talent that he manages, diba?
Yeah.
He markets them properly. So I think TNA wouldn't have struggled during the 2010s. Like, But they tried going Monday. I think they tried going Monday at that.
Yeah, that was a terrible idea.
I think
it was during the Hogan era, right?
Yeah.
I think the Monday experiment would have been tried, but I think it would have been at least more successful than whatever the Hogan thing was, diba? That was awful. That was sad. Or they could have, or Heyman would have stuck to his guns and moved TNA to an ECW time slot.
Oh, diba? Actually, they were also on TNN, diba? /Spike TV.
Yeah, make it feel like a bit of ECW there, still there, but
I mean,
still
Abyss was
different
there,
enough
you know?
But still different enough now. You know, TNA is always known for its X Division, diba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine the X Division would be like the highlight if Paul Heyman was there. Remember that the WCW TV title was like one of the was at times more exciting than the ECW World title at its time. So, you know, long story short, Paul Heyman would have given TNA a really great run, a better run, and we wouldn't have had. It wouldn't have taken a resurgence of the past few years for Impact to be good. Maybe TNA wouldn't have turned into Impact if Paul Heyman
were
there. You know?
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, Derv. What para sa iyo, what if Paul Heyman took over TNA?
I think it would have been a success. Sorry, Mobility. It would have been a success because Heyman wasn't managing the money. Let's get out of that. Yeah, so he's gonna focus on creative, and I think Heyman is fit more for a creative role and not an overall role where he has to handle the money and all that. You had Dixie for that, and Dixie should have stayed that way.
Yeah.
And I think it would have had a bigger what you call this? TNA would have had a bigger emphasis on wrestling because ROH is the one of the guys who started ROH and then Evolve is one of his proteges, Gabe Sapolsky, right?
Yeah.
So he could have had, he could have borrowed talent from the Indies, from Evolve or from, I'm not sure what time did Sapolsky left ROH and then started Evolve, but he would have had allies from the Indies, and I expect him, if he had that power of having the New Japan talent on a basis that he can borrow them, I think he would have pushed them better as well to improve the, what you call this, to improve the connections or the relationship. And I think it would have been a better alternative because I think TNA back then was the alternative. Since WWE was still had good matches, but during the PG era, the height of the PG era was also the peak of TNA. So I think that helped them being the alternative to sports entertainment. And I don't know if TNA was still around. If TNA got bigger because of Heyman, I think there would have been no AEW, but I think Tony Khan would have invested in TNA.
Monday Night Wars 2.0 would have been a bigger possibility. Wow. Would have ended better, as I said. Interesting, yeah. Right?
Imagine Tony Khan coming in. Tony Khan and Paul Heyman as the bookers.
Oh.
So yeah, imagine Tony Khan cashing in on TNA eventually.
That'd be insane.
Paul Heyman to him, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, and Heyman isn't handling money, so he's still a good thing.
Yeah, right? Heyman not cashing in literally would help save brands promotions.
Yeah.
Now
I noticed Jude. Yeah, now I noticed Jude was saying the word cashing in a lot.
Yeah.
Which leads to our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have, these are our last five what ifs. It's getting late.
This one's a quick one. So,
this is fun. Yeah. What if Mr. Kennedy cashed in his Money in the Bank contract? As you can see on Jude's photo in the background, it's Edge hitting Mr. Kennedy with
Edge
his
pretty
own
much stole MIT the title, stole the briefcase from Mr. Kennedy. I mean, he did steal it. He won it for, but yeah, Kennedy. Kennedy. Whenever you say Mr. Kennedy, you just have
to
have an echo. Like, after 15 seconds, probably, at least.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Mr. Kennedy was, when he debuted, you know, he had great potential. Because he was great on the mic. He had the persona, diba, that he was like, he was announcing himself.
Yeah.
Which was big, diba? It was, you know, Mr. Kennedy screamed sports entertainment in a way, diba? He felt like a modernized wrestling heel from maybe early 90s or late 80s, diba?
Yeah.
He was brash, he was arrogant, he was fresh off the scene. He was there, fresh.
Yeah, fresh.
And that's what WWE needed, rin. He was a new talent. And also worth noting that Eddie Guerrero's last ever televised match was Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mr. Kennedy played really well on that, diba? You saw him play along with Eddie and, you know.
Yeah, the chair.
Yeah, I mean, that's Eddie's last match. It was still fun because Kennedy made it work. And yeah, eventually, you know, his character work was good enough, and it showed that he had main event potential. Eventually, winning this third Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So after Edge, after RVD winning, it was Mr. Kennedy's turn. And then he announced that he wouldn't cash in until WrestleMania 24, the next Mania, which would have been interesting. Because he declared that WWE at one point had a year-long plan to turn Mr. Kennedy into something before cashing in and stealing the show from someone in Mania the next year.
Yeah.
And that would have been cool because he could have stolen it from John Cena.
Oh.
He could have stolen it from Batista or Undertaker or Edge instead of the other way around, diba, for Edge, for the case of Edge. Diba? Would have been cool, diba? Imagine na Mr. Kennedy would have been The Miz before The Miz.
Yeah.
In some way, diba? The Miz was kind of like what Mr. Kennedy could have been.
Yeah.
Diba? We could have, diba? Miz had the mic work. And Miz had the cash in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Diba? Sayang. I think Miz is like a good comparison to the what if of Mr. Kennedy. Could have been the Miz earlier. But maybe even bigger. Because, diba, there was a time that he was going to be Mr. McMahon's secret son.
Yeah, the Kennedy, illegitimate Kennedy son.
Yeah,
the Kennedy
McMahon. That would either have propelled him to another level or actually just dropped him, diba? But it was a huge, but it could have had huge changes to his career. But unfortunately, you know, he was injured, diba? He was injured constantly. He was part of a wellness policy violation for steroids. Yeah. And he backdropped the strong styled Randy Orton, which he almost re-injured Orton in one Denver Nuggets versus Los Angeles Lakers tag team match. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he did cash in, he would have had he would have been a big draw in some way. He would have at least had a run for a couple of years as a big heel, because He at least had the persona. He at least had the huge annoying presence, diba, to be a star.
Yeah.
At the very least. Yeah, that's my take.
Yeah. All right.
The Miz, before The Miz.
So I was talking to Jude and Steven before we went live and said that Kennedy reminded me of a white guy version of The Rock. I think it was the mid-2000s version of The Rock's persona back then when he started out as a heel from The Nature of Domination. Because, like The Rock, he wasn't really the best wrestler. He was a good wrestler, not okay at best, but good. But his strength was his mic work and his character, which was The Rock's strong suits as well. And I think he would have been one of the biggest stars in the WWE and could have gave Triple H the perfect replacement for him, because Triple H was still up in the cards back then as a face. But you have Edge as the main bad guy of Raw. Or was he in Raw and SmackDown? But
SmackDown. He was SmackDown.
SmackDown. And then Randy Orton was the one on Raw. So you could have had a three of three. Because we had a three of three big baby faces. Cena, Batista, and Rey Mysterio. And Orton, Kennedy, and Edge would have been the counter argument to those three. And also, I was holding my hand because Jude gave a really good idea. You're right, he was supposed to cash in at WrestleMania. And imagine if he cashed in on The Undertaker in the main event. He would have been the first guy to beat The Undertaker in WrestleMania as well.
To be fair, I almost put a what if on The Undertaker streak. And I answered my what if with Mr. Kennedy cashing in on Taker. He also could have cashed in on Cena, but if he cashed in on The Undertaker, that would have been
nuclear
that
heat.
Would have given him the nuclear heat to propel him to something big. So cool.
Yeah, and I think his character is so good that when he eventually turns face, it will elicit a big pop. A big, like, because he's candidate announcement.
Imagine the crowd doing that.
Imagine a WrestleMania in Green Bay just for him.
Oh, shit. In the Packers Stadium, diba?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I think imagine they would have.
And remember, Packers won a Super Bowl around the 2000s.
Oh,
diba?
Yeah.
Imagine they could have capitalized on that.
Rodgers win.
Nuclear pop. For Mr.
Like imagine like the entire Green Bay, Wisconsin shouting, "I hail from Green Bay," like the entire stadium saying "Green Bay, Wisconsin," and then God, that would have been so epic, no?
Yeah, imagine him. I think it would have been perfect if he was, if let's say he was a he recently turned face and it is now his WrestleMania to like have
like he won the Royal Rumble that year.
Yeah, Rumble does. He comes in Green Bay colors.
Green and yellow and green. Fuck.
On a mania. Yeah. And then the cheese heads. You can see the crowd.
Cheese army.
Yeah, I think Jude I think Jude suggested this one, right? The Kennedy caption. I think this is one of the biggest what ifs. And I think this is also one of the biggest missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Not just because of WWE's, like, mistakes, but also the wrestler, the talent's mistakes in how he carried himself, like with the wellness violation. But
yeah,
I think he could have been one of the biggest megastars of the PG era.
Man, Zion. So, all right. Now, speaking of stars that were being built in a certain manner, we have to talk about Randy Orton's first face run, because Randy Orton hasn't been the best guy to make as a good guy because he's an Orton. Ortons are natural heels. Bob Orton was a natural heel. I'm pretty sure even Randy Orton's grandpa was also a wrestler. Tama ba?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, medyo heel talaga. So parang it felt weird turning him into a face as a good guy, in other words. Jude first, and then there. What do you guys think of Randy Orton if his first run as a good guy worked? Jude, you go first.
Interesting, because I can't imagine Randy Orton as a face. It's hard to imagine. Because if he did become a face, because they tried turning him to some Stone Cold-ish type character ng 2010s.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
Like a tweener anti-hero. In between, and you know, tweener kind of transition between face or heel, and it didn't work, diba? I mean, that's why Orton kind of had the best, diba?
Yeah.
But yeah, if Orton continued this baby face run against Evolution, I think it would have lasted until maybe, he faced one of his OVW batchmates. So that's either Cena or Batista. And he would have still went heel.
Yeah.
It would have been a nice experiment, though, to see Randy Orton as a face. Because Randy Orton as a face naman, he's... I don't know. How can we market him as a face? He's, you know, he's clean. He wrestles really smoothly. Comes from a really great wrestling family. And yeah, he has, you know, he has all the talent and, you know, a really marketable image. So he could have been a face. But yeah, I think they would have tried at least stretching his face run into up until maybe 2 years. until he just snaps and then goes to his natural habitat being that's my take there.
All right, Derv. What if Randy Orton clicked with fans?
I was thinking about this because I was thinking, remember when he got beaten up by Triple H with the Emperor Nero thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah.
I think it would have been the perfect catalyst for him. If it clicked that he will run through Evolution, then from Apompo's Legend Killer, it will jump start him becoming the Viper eventually, really early. Because I think he had that run from Mania 21 to 23 that he became like the Legend Killer, and in 23 was... He was one of the top guys, but he wasn't featured on top of Mania in 23, right? So I think if it would have clicked, I agree with you, it would have lasted 2 years. But if there's one guy that The Undertaker could have lost to his WrestleMania streak that early, it would have been Randy. If they went all in.
Like all in Legend Killer talaga, you know? Like that would have been epic. Because he's like... Undertaker would have been the biggest legend he had to take down. And that would have been like the ultimate skyrocket talaga.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's one thing that I was actually thinking, I was going home, because I sent the list, right, of my what ifs. I was thinking about, what should I answer? But then I realized Randy Orton was a douchebag when he was very young. I think that would have forbidden, that would have been... Also, it will damp our what if, because I think it would have clicked, like Jude said, for like 2 years, but I think it would only last, like with what Jude said, 2 years, because his issues with the wellness policies, his attitude backstage would have stopped his push eventually.
That's not true.
Yes. So... I think it's more of a what if it clicked, and I think it would have been more sad if it clicked, then he got punished for the wellness and for his attitude. Yeah. Because I think Orton was one of the people who was, you know, he has the backing of the company because he's from a wrestling family, but he was aware of his position and wants to be on top. That's my read on the young Randy Orton. Right now, he wouldn't give any F's about his position right now and just give a really funny dad answer.
Yeah. All right. So before we get to our last set of what ifs, I wanted to mention Cinema 76 in Mandaluyong, San Juan, closed down recently. It was where I saw a movie called Cuddle Weather by Sue Ramirez.
Yeah.
And it was... it's sad to see the cinema go. Because if you wanted to watch an indie film, you go to Cinema 76 or one of the few other places. I guess that's another thing I want to talk about one day, hopefully, with Sue Ramirez. That's why we have a hashtag that we're trying to push called hashtag SueAnnXTheKikiJuans, courtesy of Derv. For those unfamiliar, Sue Ramirez is... a TV star, movie star. She does a lot of more... The way I see it, the way she picks her roles is more, how can I play with this role? More than just, how can I, you know... I mean, let's face it, a lot of actors are here to make money.
In a way, how to make the role work in some way.
Yes, exactly. So, but I feel like it'll be something very interesting to discuss her acting choices, like the techniques that she goes to understand characters more, among other things. So if somebody here is part of Suramira's like media team or something, please, we want to get her on the podcast. That'd be super
well,
fun.
It's eventually.
Eventually. Okay. Hashtag Suan X the Geeky Ones. Now, for our final set of questions, I feel like I have to rearrange this in terms of impact in the wrestling industry. Yeah. So we're going to start with Jude's.
Impact wouldn't be mentioned here. So.
Yeah.
we already ran out of TNA questions.
Yeah, so many TNA questions. We're going to start with Jude's, which is Himoka Koto Super Rookie, because Finico. It's just
okay.
Such a big what if. Jude first, then
let's start this one. Okay. Diba? The what if is, what if the G for Goto stands for gold? Is it?
Okay,
let's see. Hiroki Goto was in 2008. He was the young star. It was like his debut year. I think he graduated from the Young Lion system in a way. And he was given a huge push. He won the G1 in his first year. And eventually, you know, they gave him a huge opportunity to be their future star. Maybe, you know, kind of like what Okada was given, diba?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting because he could have had something. But yeah, if he won the G1 and in the next few years he had opportunities to try and win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and eventually he did. He did contest for Tanahashi, but still no, you know, He beat Togi Makabe, by the way, in that G1 final. And Togi Makabe was a top guy at that time. So he overcame great GBH for that, to win that. Diba? That was a great story. That's how you create a good face. He beat a really annoying faction, a really big bad guy faction. And eventually, he, in 2009, he also won the New Japan Cup. Diba? Super rookie. He had a great sophomore year. Even better sophomore year, if you argue, because he had a shot. He had a straight up title shot to Hiroshi Tanahashi. He beat Carl Anderson, Shinsuke Nakamura, Yuji Nagata, and Giant Bernard. Those guys are S-tier New Japan guys.
Yeah.
Those are high-tier New Japan guys. And he earned a shot at Wrestling Dontaku, and guy lost. So, and eventually, the year after, he tried contesting for the GHC in Wrestle Kingdom 4 as part of New Japan, and tried to beat Takashi Sugiura for Noah's belt. And, you know, eventually it was up and down for Goto ever since. He tried to contend for the CMLL World Heavyweight title against Ultimo Guerrero.
It still lost.
Didn't work. He tried to contest for the heavyweight title a few more times, diba? He's challenged Kazuchika Okada for the right to challenge the IWGP.
And even had to wear body paint and still lost.
He had to have go to a phase where he wore battle war paint, essentially.
Yeah.
And didn't work. Ayun, essentially, what happened was he didn't get the push, he didn't get the title opportunity that he could have had early. And now, the G in Goto stands for G1, but he only won the G1 once in his first try. He was so close to winning the final, though, but Yeah, we never. Now Goto is no longer
eligible.
So I think his title opportunity window just closed. Sadly, you know, it's hard to be fair, a Goto fan because you're always gonna have to settle for for second place. It's sad.
Yeah.
Now he's like third, fourth place sometimes. But yeah. But what if they did try have him beat? What if they did pull the trigger and just beat Tanahashi?
Yeah,
have him beat Tanahashi, diba? Tried. Like what they did to Nakamura when he beat Tenzan.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And even though I think the parallels could have been similar, because both early Goto and early Nakamura did not have character. They both just graduated from the Young Lion system.
Yeah.
Because Goto's character right now is, you know, he at least has a fighting spirit that's...
New Japan dad.
New Japan, diba? Very New Japan guy. Diba? Imagine he's like, he embodies the fighting spirit of New Japan, but, you know, he doesn't embody a world champion fighting spirit guy. So sad. That's a sad thing. Yeah. If he did, what if he did? So if he did, you know, he could have caused the shock. He could have caused something like an earlier version of the Rainmaker shock that, young guy beats Tanahashi in a surprise upset to be one of the youngest IWGP Heavyweight Champions ever. So, diba? Even though that failed, at least they tried giving him...
Yeah.
Diba? Maybe the G&G one would stand for gold or golden, diba? Or great, diba?
Hey, but to be fair... Since the World Heavyweight Championship combines the lineages of the Intercontinental and the Heavyweight Championship, Goto term? In retrospect? Or not retrospect.
In association?
He's retroactively...
Yeah, retroactively a world champion. Like Suzuki.
Unless they actually say that, no, it's just us trying to cope with Hiroki Goto.
Bargaining na lang, alright, Derv. Alright, what do you think? What if Hiroki Goto became the super rookie?
Is Goto the Chris Paul of New Japan?
Oh!
No. You can also say Karl Malone.
Yeah. Actually, Malone is better. Because I think with Goto, I think I love what Jude said, that he's like Shinsuke. Because of the rookie years. Because Naito was Tanahashi 2.0. And actually, Okada was the third one. And he was supposed to be the Shibata or the Hashimoto. Goto was definitely like the Shinsuke and Hashimoto guy.
Yeah.
In one. And then Tanahashi Naito is kind of like Tenzan and Tanahashi in one. And then Muto and Shibata. No, not Shibata because Okada didn't do like the stiff stuff. But you get the point. Like they were supposed to be the new three masculine in the third generation.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, Shibata and Goto, as good as they are, and I love Shibata to hell, and I'm a fan of Goto as well, but they were the ones na blanco. They're like, because Chono got the world title, the NWA and the IWGP. I think in every batch, there's this one star that fails or just wins the title once or twice. But yeah, if he would have been a champion, I think he would have, what you call this? If he would have struggled if he won on his first try. Kind of like with Nakamura, although it was a shock. But he would have struggled because Jude said that the character wasn't there yet, right? They were like the plain, strong style wrestlers that had no charisma. Back then, because it was still a work in progress. So yeah, I think he would have been a Nakamura-like run. And the sad thing is, Goto had to wear, like, the perfect time for Goto to win was against Okada after Wrestle Kingdom 10. Because, sadly, after Goto lost and joined Chaos, the next guy who challenged Okada did win his first title, which was Naito. So that was extra painful for Goto, I think. Because that was his last shot at the world title, right?
Yeah. That's the last time he had the world title.
Sometimes feels like he never even got a shot at all.
It's kind of like Karl Malone, Chris Paul in one. So yeah, I think it would have been a good champion, but I think he would have struggled the way Nakamura struggled to connect with fans during his reign.
You can also say that Hiroki Goto moving to Chaos is like Malone moving to the Lakers, trying to improve his winning the big game. So man. Yeah, sad. That's but yeah, I mean, there's no time to be sad because we have two more items here.
Yeah,
so
that is true. All right, our final two. Wait, I lost track. All right, here we go. Is involving NXT. What if Drew McIntyre did not get injured in his match against Andrade at TakeOver? Because for context, Andrade was not supposed to win. They had to call an audible because Drew McIntyre could not continue, but this was the main event. They had no choice but to make Andrade win because you don't want to make the fans go home disappointed. So, let's start with Derv Muna then Jude.
Mm-hmm.
Derv, what if Drew McIntyre did not get injured versus Andrade? Where would Drew McIntyre, where would Andrade... he wasn't Andrade yet. He was Andrade Cien Almas. And of course, being accompanied by Zelina Vega, who helped fix the Playboy. All right.
Yeah.
Derv, the floor is yours.
I think this is big. Because basically, this happened, right? And if I can remember correctly, the planned main event of TakeOver back then was supposed to be Adam Cole versus Drew McIntyre, right?
Damn.
It was leading up to that. And imagine if this didn't happen, this would have not kicked off the Gargano era of NXT.
Oh my gosh.
Because Andrade's first defense was against Gargano and it started what I think is the true golden age of NXT.
Yeah. And Johnny Wrestling, man.
Yeah, imagine if that two and a half year span of NXT having the best, most consistent wrestling show and takeovers didn't happen, right? Wait, I just got distracted by that comment. I don't know if it's spam.
Which check?
Want to become famous? Yeah.
Ah, yeah, it's
that's a bomb.
Never mind. Keep going.
So I think Drew would have still became a big star because I think they were still creative in the main roster still want him. I think he has still Vince's faith in him, and he would have still had his moment. I think Andrade would have moved earlier from NXT because I think he was really frustrated back then, right? Before teaming up with Zelina, he was really considering leaving. And yeah, what if the biggest what if is, I think Adam Cole versus McIntyre happens at the expense of the 2.5 year boom period for NXT after the recovery period from losing Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. Because I think Drew was the perfect guy to transition from the Rude era to the Gargano, Ciampa, Cole era of NXT.
Gets.
So, yeah.
All right.
I think Drew, to end it, Drew would have been safe. And that it would have been, I'm not sure. And we wouldn't have like the best matches in WWE history. The series.
Damn. Mm-hmm. All right. Jude, for our second to last question.
Okay.
Where do you think Drew McIntyre would be? Where do you think Andrade would be? Where do you think Zelina Vega would be?
Well, I think NXT would still be in a good spot because this was like their most talented roster ever. So
yeah,
that's one. Okay, next one is if he didn't get hurt against versus Andrade. I think He could have at least showed up on the main roster as the NXT champ, kind of like a KO. Kevin Owens.
Oh, man, that would
have
been fun.
I could have had that, and eventually, like Kevin Owens, drop it to someone deserving. Maybe, maybe the Gargano era would be great. It would be, you know, would start by, you know, having Drew leave, you know, and still. But yun, I think, or Drew would have at least stayed for another year. Mm. At least. And at least in the abrupt, you when he moved from NXT to Raw, I think it wouldn't have been as abrupt as we saw. So
he came up as a heel, right? As tapos sa NXT face, di ba?
Yeah.
It was super weird.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been as weird. So he at least could have defended at least one more year at the most, and then move to the main roster, and yet ensuring that NXT would be in good hands, because it would either be, you know, it would either be Ciampa or Gargano just eating away for that NXT title, and it would still be so awesome because those two guys are just, you know, really great.
And if there was Fight Forever, it's Ciampa Gargano.
Yeah, that's them. That's one of the guys you imagine on Fight Forever. Mm-hmm. And then the Drew push would have been, I don't know, would have been better. Would have been more natural. Because you built, like, he could say, I rebuilt myself on NXT, and now I'm here, I'm back, and ready to be the chosen one. As they say, di ba? Would have been cooler. Sige. But despite that, we still got him as a WWE champion. So,
you know. Nice.
Both scenarios will still end him becoming a world champion.
All right. Finally, speaking of world champions, probably the biggest what if for probably modern wrestling in general. What if Daniel Bryan never won the double belts at WrestleMania 30? Where would wrestling be today? Jude, you go first, and then we go to Derv.
Okay.
For our final question of the night.
I think, this is a nice thing. I think Daniel Bryan would be dismayed after this. He may have won the WWE title, but he won it so briefly twice. During this time, the year before. So I think he would be dismayed so much he would have chosen to leave. Because that's kind of painful. Because you really wanted a feel good ending for Mania, like a Mania event, and you don't execute it. And that was the triple threat with Batista and Orton, right?
Yeah, like Daniel Bryan basically beat all active members of Evolution.
That would have felt so sour, because it would have, instead of going to a red hot babyface like Daniel Bryan, it would have went to Batista or Orton, who the fans are kind of tired of.
Yeah.
That would be the most, that would have been the worst ending.
Mm.
And they would hate it. And that's not good. That doesn't feel good. I don't imagine it.
All right.
I think you would have went the way, when you would have left, maybe like, I don't know, you would have left kind of like, exited maybe after Punk. So, would have hurt, diba? Although that may be sad for his WWE career. That he could have, that would have opened him to try out different things also, diba?
Maybe
go back to ROH.
And
win the title one more time. Or, you know, maybe become the first four, maybe become, and like Mox, maybe become something like Moxley, but happened earlier, diba? By going to Japan, trying out Japan. We could have seen G1 Daniel Bryan, or G1 Bryan Daniel earlier, diba? And if remember, Bryan was healthier before, diba?
Yeah.
even though
Strong Style may not have been the healthiest choice.
don't do it.
We could have at least tried, diba? If WWE didn't wanna have him as their champion or give him that moment, he could have earned his moment, fought his moment elsewhere. He could have imagined him being in New Japan, diba?
Damn, that'd be epic.
That would have been cool. Or he could have helped put ROH in a resurgence. Because ROH at that time was hot. 2010's ROH was great. Early 2010's ROH, diba? Yeah. Although, even though it was constantly raided by NXT, it was great. It had great talent. There's a reason why the NXT raids Ring of Honor. Mm. So yeah, if they didn't pull the trigger, Daniel Bryan wouldn't have had that moment, and I think he would have chosen to just leave.
All right. Derv, what do you think would have happened to Daniel Bryan if he never won in WrestleMania 30, the last numbered WrestleMania?
Well, 30 happens to be my favorite WrestleMania of all time, and it would have sucked. Because you had two bad endings to that WrestleMania, and it will be remembered for, one, the Undertaker streak being ended by Brock Lesnar, and then Batista and Randy Orton having that Brock Lesnar Goldberg of main events of no one wanting either guy to win, or they would have just cheered Orton to win over Batista, which is gonna be awkward. I think this would have made WrestleMania 30, like I said, less special, and it would have sucked because this is one my now claim to fame that Daniel Bryan and The Undertaker streak ended on my birthday. So,
man. I would have always said
Undertaker streak ending. But then with Bryan, I think I agree with Jude. Bryan would have considered leaving. And he could have helped Ring of Honor. If he left, he could have left and joined Ring of Honor and gave it someone of a veteran's hand to guide them while they transition from losing most of their top stars to NXT. And then also, he could be in the G1, right? He could be in the G1. We know that he was craving for that Shinsuke dream match because they were roommates, yeah. And I think in the Dojo?
LA Dojo, yeah. LA Dojo.
Okay, I want to note that if Daniel Bryan, went to Ring of Honor, he could have helped keep some of the talent.
Yeah,
he had the presence to do so. So,
but I mean, Sinclair has all this money, and they never did anything with it. They don't do anything with it.
Now they're finally making sense by just letting the people in the company just wrestle.
Yeah, man,
they've been doing better.
I mean,
now
they finally got rid of Bully Ray from the booking team.
Yeah.
ROH has the biggest indie star right now in the States as well, to give them credit, which is Danhausen.
Ah, yes, that's true. Yeah.
Danhausen. A star of his own.
Danhausen. I think with Daniel Bryan, he could have left. But I think this could have, if he stayed and with the constant peppering of fans, this could have built up to WrestleMania 31. Finally, WWE couldn't contain it anymore. They could give him the grand road to WrestleMania by having him win the Rumble, which could have saved the Philadelphia Rumble from the very awkward ending. And we could have had Roman Reigns' push moved to WrestleMania 32, because I would have loved face Bryan versus heel Brock Lesnar, the unstoppable WWE champion, versus Daniel Bryan. That would have been, although I like the match between Brock and Roman, I would have loved Bryan and Brock batting at the main event with Daniel Bryan celebrating, he finally won it, and then Seth Rollins cashes in. And that's your program for the summer.
Okay. Fuck. That would have been epic.
Would have been,
But yeah, would have been cool. Because Daniel Bryan leaving would have had huge implications for wrestling in the world. And he could have shown that, you know, it could have helped make Forbidden Door things happen more. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. We can look at the comments, Steven. So
yeah.
From crazy. Facebook,
Kevin.
Carl Lorenzo also showed na ano, hi, for... what if The Undertaker fought Sting? Yes,
this should have happened. That needs another episode.
Wait,
this could have been a streak breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to happen because of the vignettes and then they had to change it to Triple H because Sting re-signed with TNA?
Oh, man.
It's awful.
So what other comments?
If Undertaker fought Sting, that would have been one of...
dream match, man.
For both men, probably their best match. It's a streak match. And I would be okay with Undertaker losing to Sting.
Yeah.
Kasa that might not fly with WWE. So yeah. Next up we have what if the curtain call never happened? So the curtain call was a after the curtain call was like a shoot incident now where Shawn Michaels and Triple H hugged Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
And eventually it led to Triple H being punished because he's a new guy and he can't do that.
Yeah.
He can't really do that.
And he wasn't Shawn Michaels, who was untouchable. So
what happened was he was demoted, he was pushed down the card, and eventually they had to push Stone Cold and eventually The Rock.
Wasn't that King of the Ring supposed to be Triple H's King of the Ring, right? The one that
in a way,
launched
yes.
the 316, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if that case, if a very quick answer there, if Triple H went on to win King of the Ring, he would have been one of the faces of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That would have been the possibility.
And we didn't have that legendary promo from Stone Cold.
Or Austin 316 would have been done elsewhere, maybe a Monday night.
Yeah.
A bit of anger. So but still, it would have changed and it would have changed the Attitude Era. Because Triple H winning the King of the Ring meant like, yeah, he's the guy he's the guy that's gonna be the face of our entire era of WWE, the next era of WWE. So that's cool. This one's loaded though. What if Eddie Guerrero is still with us? That's kind of painful. That's sad, honestly. But if Eddie Guerrero were still here, he would have probably beaten Batista for the World Heavyweight title. He could have at least had a few more great matches. I would have wanted to see what if Eddie was there for La Familia.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That would have made Eddie versus Taker a thing. If Edge lost to Taker next year, Eddie would just try and have a hand on it doesn't matter if he wins or not, but what matters is he at least was part of that streak. That would have been cool. And
what's
maybe,
the question? All right, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Maybe Ray or Chavo would have had their crowning moment against Eddie, diba?
Oh man, Eddie
would sell for those guys completely wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
and if Ray and diba, but yeah, it would have it affect because this entire like what happened to Eddie affected wrestling the entire decade after.
Yeah.
It was the catalyst for a lot of things that happened.
Benoit would still be alive, I think, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on that case. So yeah, it would have changed so many things in wrestling.
Yeah, and
but
we would have
talking about Eddie alone gang. Yeah, he would have gotten a few more world titles, maybe another one. Because he's not he's a guy that's okay with not winning too much. Right? He won and then it's
crowned.
But yeah. He would have still had great matches. He would have been the veteran who just does great matches. I would have wanted maybe a main event Eddie Guerrero versus John Cena. Would have helped John Cena, diba? He had a great match with Shawn Michaels in Mania 23 and the Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
That was so freaking long. Diba? The year after, maybe just have Eddie. Diba? Oh my God. Instead of Batista.
I love that Jude said Shawn Michaels. Because I think, if I remember this correctly,
the event
for the World Heavyweight Championship was Eddie versus Shawn Michaels, and we missed out on that.
Oh yeah, Eddie versus Shawn would have been cool. So yeah, that would have been awesome. So yeah, so for Kevin,
I think he just didn't
want
to go to
Raw.
Answer.
Eddie would have had banger after banger of matches and retired quietly. I'm tired now. I'm okay now with my matches, and yeah, that would have been whatever happens to how he retires is cool, because he will always have that legendary resume. By the way, I think a few days ago, I watched like a match with CM Punk versus Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio in a triple threat match in IWA Mid-South for the title. Eddie beat Punk. That was really cool. That was a weird match, and Rey was maskless. So that was a weird, really weird thing that I remember. But yeah, that's our episode. That's episode 90. Yay!
Yeah. Well, this is gonna be 90 and 91 because we are now at 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We are going to
finish
this episode up. So let's just
go 90.
So yeah, 90 and 90.5.
So yeah. But yeah, 90, we're like 10 more to 100, and that's cool.
That's, right.
That's awesome. And for those who are watching, thank you so much for the comments.
So much,
those are really
cool,
those are really cool what if takes.
A lot
and,
of questions,
yeah,
too. Really nice.
There are lots of questions. Now,
you can follow.
I know you're part of Wrestling After Work, and you've been a guest here for a couple of times. So
yeah.
Anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, so follow me at... on Instagram at I forgot my Instagram. Sorry. Just follow me on Twitter at douchebaghetti. On Instagram, it's Albert Easy. And follow Wrestling After Work. And I want to promote The Hills. Eagles brand. You can order their first design. Their first design. And also, if you're a fan of What Ifs and fantasy booking, I'll have the guys over here if they give me their permission. I'm thinking of something, and I'll discuss it with them as well. So
okay.
All right. By the podcast, the Geeky Ones podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. Now, Jude, where can they find us on social media?
Oh yeah, okay. So you can find us on social media, the Geeky Ones, just by typing at the Geeky Ones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. So yeah, at the Geeky Ones, we all have the same handle there, thankfully.
There is another podcast that we have called Evolving Backwards that we haven't been doing much for a while, but
Slice of Life podcast where we usually talk about things, various life questions, big questions. It's usually just one question, and everyone answers. It's really cool. So that'd be cool. And now, also, you can also find us on thegeekyones.com.
That's right.
Recently, we wrote the Splitgate review. We played the game, and it was really fun. And And Steven, where can we find you first?
All right. So you can find me at Stevie Said Yup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I blog about random things mostly comic books and ice hockey. There's also, I've been learning how to skateboard, but I do not have skateboarding highlights yet because I am not on that level of progression yet. But hopefully I'll be there soon. For Jude, you can find Dude, It's Jude on Facebook. He streams video games.
I think I'll say that I can start streaming again on maybe by the start of Monday.
Nice.
This coming Monday. So I'll probably be playing more Splitgate. So yeah, that's one thing I'll be doing. And just keep playing the game until maybe play a bit more ranked. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, nice. Here we go. Also, Kevin Duayan has a podcast called Elitist ng Weibo on wherever you listen to podcasts. So, all right. Okay. Thank you so much to everyone who's dropped by. Again, we are the Geeky Juans. That is it for episode 90 and 90.5. We are now... Damn, we can't believe it. How many years
we're
have we been
pretty
doing
much 10 whole episodes away. So that's really
yeah.
cool. Awesome. So yeah, for those who are watching, thank you so much. For those who are commenting, thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
So that's really cool. And bye. Yeah, that's... And we're 10 away and... That's the Geeky Ones, and we'll see you next episode. So, yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. See you on next Geeky Ones.
Yules.
This episode of The Geeky Ones is presented to you by Ambidexter. Check out ambidexter.media for more information.